Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Well, look at you.
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Point is powerful. This is a no-win situation. Give me a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and at the end of it.
Thank you, Ellen. It's going to be a great show, tight show, special guest show. I am so looking forward to talking to Michael Don Fess. And today we go serial killer on your ass. These kind of books I love. Without further ado, we came in late. The time's ticking. Let's bring in Michael Don Fess. Ellen, open up the door and let's have Mr. Fess come in here. All right, let's greet him properly with our big round of applause here. You guys are in for a treat. We're going to have Mr. Don Fess talk to us about his new book. And I can't find the applause. Ellen, you messed my studio. Did you break in my studio again?
No, that wasn't me. That might have been those little trolls that we have running around.
Mr. Don, Michael Don Fess. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Mr. Fess. How are you?
Well, good morning. You folks are early risers.
Oh, well, good morning, sir. Yes, we have to. The early bird catches the virus worm.
The proverbial worm. All right.
That's true. You know, it's an honor to have you in the studio, sir. I know you've been writing for a long time, and you have the credentials, and you have the fame for it. And I'm reading your bio a little bit, and you're one of the best sellers in Arkansas. You have published over 20 novels and a couple of nonfictions. You even have your own at your website, Fess, that's F-E-S-S, books.com. I know you're good. You're probably humble, but I'm going to ask you the first question off the bat. Why are you so good? Why are you the best, Mr. Fess?
Well, I don't know that I'm the best. I enjoy it. It's a fun occupation, and I have developed a style, I think, that is easy to read and interesting and exciting and so forth.
Well, I think your timing is excellent. I hate to say it, you know, when everybody's in the house and people are now reading, because before people were looking at, you know, doing other things, but this is the time to check out some great novels, and you're one of them. So tell me about The Cruising Serial Killer.
We've taken quite a few Caribbean cruises in the last 15 years and had some interesting adventures, and I got inspired to approach the subject from a different angle that I think most authors have done. And I injected a lot of science in it, electronics, really cutting edge, I guess you'd call it, technology. And it turned out to be a bestseller. It's probably my most popular book. Mm-hmm. And it was so popular that I decided to write a sequel. And it's called The Cruising Black Widow. And I can guarantee the readers, they'll never forget the Black Widow.
You know, it's very interesting. I'm reading a little bit about your book. It says here, passengers walking down the pier to explore the island had no idea they were being watched by a serial killer. He was searching for a male passenger who looked a lot like him, so he could murder him, assume his identity, and go on board for the remainder of the cruise. Like it. I like the concept. Now, are you the kind of person, now you could be either a good person or a bad person. Here's a good person. Honey, let's take a vacation. Good person. Bad person. Honey, let's take a vacation, and you're with everybody else, and you're going, doesn't he look like a serial killer? Hey, I could use him for my book. Look at this character. And it's like a working vacation. Because you can't turn off your mind, because people around you and the scenery is so great that your creative juices is flowing, and you find yourself just thinking about the next book?
Well, you know, one of the secrets in writing a good novel is that your characters have to have their own personality. And that's an interesting challenge, because you have to put yourself in a position of being several different people. And once you immerse yourself into the novel, it becomes almost alive. And you see these characters and meet them and listen to them and watch them. And the book kind of writes itself once you get started.
Oh, I believe that. Sometimes real life is stranger than fiction. And I'm sure you've been in those situations, especially on a cruise ship.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about your characters, Mr. Fess, about your protagonists and about your heroes and some of the characters in your book.
Well, the deepest mind of a character that is a criminal like that is quite fascinating to me. I've done quite a lot of research, and I think that most of us have a hard time putting ourselves in the position of that kind of protagonist. Most people are pretty normal. We all have a dark side, but we keep it suppressed. Most of us do. And these few people who become criminals and serial killers, they can't suppress that dark side.
You know what's scary is when I was growing up, my parents used to say, "You're one paycheck from being homeless." And we all have this. I'm sorry. Could you hear me? Oh, okay.
I can't.
Okay, let me see. Can
we,
you hear?
We're out in the county, and the AT&T coverage isn't too great out here. So, if it drops me, I'll have to call you back.
All right, no problem. Let me know. Let me test my mic. Ellen, can you hear me, or should I use the other?
No, I can hear you.
Okay.
I hear you fine. It just you had a blank spot there, but it's okay.
Oh, okay. What I was saying is, you know, I was brought up that we're one paycheck away from being homeless. That's how I was brought up.
We all grew up poor, but we didn't know it.
Right. I'm just saying what makes these books scary is that we're all normal until somebody, the normal man, till he reaches his breaking, or the woman, reaches their breaking point, because if you sat down with a serial killer, you would think he's cool, because you're the guy on the TV saying, "Well, I didn't know he killed that many people. We used to go barbecuing with Fred. He's such a nice guy." You just don't know what brings people to that edge. Do you think we all have that trigger that can take us from controlling ourselves to serial killer? Just that one thing could bring us over the edge?
Desperation brings out part of our personality that we didn't know we had in a lot of cases. And I think you've hit on a real point there, that when you're one paycheck away from being in poverty, the desperation makes people do strange things.
Mm. You would think that we would have control over our faculties instead of just one morning. We find our hands gently squeezing our wife's neck and seeing those beautiful eyes pop out of her head. And I don't know what makes her do it. You just don't know what makes another person go over the edge, you know? And I know driving in traffic and the widows are flipping you off and everything, going, okay, they reached their point. That's why these books are so good, because you could probably also relate to the serial killer itself. What do you think, Michael? You think people can empathize, or I haven't read your book, but can they relate to the serial killer?
Well, I think the difference in most people and the ones who become criminals is that, and you've read, I'm sure, many accounts of this, that if people get a helping hand at the right time, it turns their entire life around, and they go on to become successful or whatever. But if they don't get that helping hand and they're mired in desperation, their life takes a different turn.
Hmm. Okay. It goes back to that desperation thing. Desperate people do desperate things, or survivor.
That's right.
Hmm.
You know, all of the people who grow up in ghettos and the hood, so to speak, they don't see a way out. And I think that's why we have so many gangs and dope peddlers and et cetera, is that they don't see any alternative.
Hmm. Well, the number one dope peddler, as far as I'm concerned, is Big Pharma. They'll try to, if you ever have daytime TV, they're trying to get you hooked on every pill because of every emotion you have, that you have a problem. Depression, high blood pressure, restless brain.
Yeah.
No, they're trying to get you on.
Diabetes, obesity.
Wow.
If it wasn't for this present virus, the media would have nothing to talk about, you know.
That's true.
But that
is true. 20 books. Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead. I was going to say, one of my most fun novels that I've written is A Shaking Experience. It's based on a true trip to the Panama Canal on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
And We got to see some really interesting things, the banana plantation, and found out why we have bananas available now year-round. And on and on, the whole trip was, of course, I'd always wanted to see the Panama Canal because it's one of the seven wonders of the modern world. And it was fascinating. I have an engineering background, so I got had great interest in watching the gates and the locks open and close. And the new canal is twice as big as the old canal, and it's the gates operate differently. And the whole thing was a very pleasing experience, and I was able to use a lot of that. We had some problems on the cruise ship with a bad vibration, which indicated to me with my mechanical background that something was out of balance or something was there was a bearing going bad or something like that, and it was I was quite concerned. Of course, most of the passengers wouldn't do anything about it, but even up on the buffet level, about the level seven, deck seven, the salt and pepper shakers were dancing around on the table. You know, it was pretty bad. And so I took that event and used it, I think, quite successfully. And then we had a health problem of some kind on the ship, and they turned the ship around and headed back towards Fort Lauderdale and met a Coast Guard helicopter to airlift this person back to mainland. We never knew what the problem was, whether it was a deceased individual or somebody that had a heart attack.
Right.
And, you know, you never know. But, we got to watch that. That was pretty exciting. And, you know, there were a lot of things that happened on that trip. Oh, and we, on the way back, they announced that we were going to cut the trip short and because of engine problems. And about an hour later, the entire ship shut down. The elevators closed, the lights went off, the air conditioning went off, everything stopped.
Damn.
And we were dead in the water and for about 2 hours. And, you know, all that makes a good fire in a novel. And anyway, the characters are pretty wild, and it's a love story, too. I had a lot of fun with this one.
Wow. See, that's why I could never take a cruise. My girlfriend, the family, they love cruises. You're not getting me on a boat. You're not doing it. There is no good thing can happen on a boat with these people, this ocean, and I don't know who the hell these crew people are. There is no way in hell that you're getting me on a boat. That's just it. I'm done. I am not doing it.
Well, let me tell you this. They're really good people, and they work hard to keep you happy. And that, you know, of the thousands of cruises that take place every year, there probably is more than three or four that have a problem. So odds are in your favor.
yeah, right. I'm the one with the 3%. What the hell?
Yeah. I was about to say, Brian would be on the ship that had all the problems.
I'll be wearing the Michael Don Fest T-shirt saying "Go Cruising," and my boat will be the Poseidon Adventure 2. I guarantee you, I'm not taking that shot. Not
well,
doing
let
it.
Me let me tell you, with those odds, I could become a billionaire in Las Vegas. So,
well, God bless you. I'm going to see you in your mansion. Those odds are still too high. I'm just
you.
Not a cruise person. I'm just not. The people, the characters that go aboard these things, I have seen them in their happy, joyous time. I have seen a lot of wacky things go on. And then the berth where you're sleeping.
Some real
hell no. I get claustrophobic.
I did a book signing on one of the cruises, and the presentations in the auditorium was quite intimidating. I'd never made a presentation in a 1,500 seat auditorium before, and that was a little bit unnerving. But some of the characters, the questions they asked were crazy too. But anyway, it was a fun trip. But yeah. Another favorite book of mine is The Secret in Black. And it's about some retired federal agents. Some of them are ex-CIA and some are FBI and ATF and all the alphabet soup. But it was a really good, a fun novel to write. And during this self-isolation, I'm working on its sequel to it. And
wow.
But I do other things. I've probably worked over 20 picture puzzles. I've painted about at least a half a dozen paintings.
Damn.
And, you know, I stay busy, and I enjoy. I can't play tennis because they closed the club, but
right.
Anyway,
right. Are you are you retired, Michael? Are you retired from?
Well, I'm 80. I'm only 84, so I'm gonna quit one of these days. But
yeah, you should. Vacation's over, buddy. Get back to work. You're young, 84. What are you doing?
But
this sounds like.
Fun.
Are you married? Are you a family man? Grandchildren?
Well, we're in 2 days. We're celebrating our 65th wedding anniversary.
Wow!
And we have 14 grandchildren, and we now have five grandchildren. And, you know, life is exciting. We have
that
a lot of fun. The youngest grandchild graduated from high school, except they don't have a graduation this year.
Yeah.
You know how that is. And
No, I don't. I really don't, and I feel so sorry for the kids. I really think they're getting robbed of their graduation. They're getting robbed of their youth. They can't play. They can't play in the street. They can't play basketball. They can't swim together. They can't go to camp. That's another story. Forget about that. You could write a book about my mind. But God bless you. Congratulations on your anniversary, sir. That is really wonderful. Well,
my wife and I started going steady in the eighth grade. And so we've been married all our lives, basically.
And what year was that when you started going steady?
Well, let's see. I graduated from high school in 1953, so that would have been in 1948, I guess.
Beautiful time, huh? Do you remember that? Do you remember what was going on then? Do you remember the picture show? What was going on?
Every Saturday we'd go to the double feature, and you know, and for the price was 10 cents plus 2 cents tax, so it was a 12 cents.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, we went to the double feature every Saturday. That was fun.
Yeah.
All the westerns, and then they had the serials, you know, every Saturday, and then the news. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's a different era. You're too young to know about all that.
No, but that's a lost era. I mean, that era is beautiful. I mean, to some people, I happen to be black, so they were hanging me. But for you, it's okay. You can laugh at that, Don. I mean, Mr. Fest, you can laugh at that. But some people, I couldn't remember that era, though. You know, it's the innocent era.
Yeah.
And
but when you've lived this long, you have a lot of fodder you can use in novels. So
sure. That
mine,
is true.
And don't have any filler. They're all full of exciting events. So.
Wow, to think back, you have seen so much. You have seen this world change just like five times over. And your opinion,
eighth grade,
if you're in eighth grade now, just pretend you're back in eighth grade, and you see the future. What would you tell that eighth grader? What would you tell that eighth grader? Can you hear me?
At that point, I'm wanting to be a career musician. I play a cornet,
right.
And I've won several solo contests. And
wow.
I listen to the big bands every night, and Harry James and all of the big, you know, names.
Wow.
So that was one of my goals in the eighth grade, was to be a career musician. And
mm-hmm.
So, and actually, in the 11th and 12th grade, I was in the all-state band here in Arkansas. So, you know, I got a music scholarship to college.
Right.
So I was really, really into it. And,
wow.
But I realized that in those days, you had to live out of a suitcase. You traveled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did one-night stands all over the country, and I decided I didn't want that life. So I
right.
switched engines.
And let's face it, if you'd be working out of a lot of speakeasies and stuff like that and basement saloons and stuff just to get going,
mm-hmm.
just get an audience.
Well, you know, people like Elvis and some of those guys made the other choice. And
yeah.
I was the same age as Elvis, you know. And,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but look what happened to Elvis. Look what happened to those people who sold their souls, Michael. You did the right thing.
Well, I think so, but anyway, you know, you make those choices in life, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes they turn out great, sometimes they don't. Mine has been turned out pretty well, actually. We're pretty independent. We, at 84, we've got a nice 5,000-square-foot home with no debt, and, you know, it's just we enjoy life.
Well, Michael, if you had... And I hope you can hear me. I'll try it. If
I hear you.
You
yeah.
You're back at eighth grade. You're at school right now. You're in eighth grade. And you, Michael, now, had to whisper to you as an eighth grader, what advice would you give yourself for the future?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think I would probably give myself the same advice that I took. I work hard at something. Like my horn, my cornet, I practiced every day for hours. And
right.
You know, I tried to, I had an attitude that I didn't really care what people thought of me. I was going to do what I thought was right.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that. And you know, some people live their lives for other people. They're worried about what other folks think about them and so make judgments. Well, I didn't give a damn. And I decided that, what you know, my impression of me was more important than anybody else. And as long as I stayed on the straight and narrow and did the right things, I didn't have to worry about it. So that was probably my best advice.
Okay.
And I still have that attitude. I live my life the way I want to, and I don't worry
mm-hmm.
about too much about what other people think. But I have a lot of friends, and we a lot of good buddies. And my oldest friend, we met in the first grade.
Wow.
And we've been friends ever since. And I went to his 85th birthday party in January, and we're still great friends. And we've traveled, been on some cruises together, and you know.
Damn.
Anyway, we go to the horse races in Oklahoma and Hot Springs together, and he's a good friend.
Why do I think that? I think your house around the holiday season is almost like Santa's workshop. I mean, I'm thinking it's fully decorated. You got your friends over. You got the pie going. You got the friends bringing
yeah.
over this, and you're having a great. Is that how it is at your house around Christmas time?
When the grandkids were a little younger, we used to have Christmas dinner here and have at least 26 people for dinner. We alternated with the in-laws. Every other year, we would have Thanksgiving, and they would have Christmas, and then but it was fun. We had now they've all grown up and gone, and they've got their own families, so it's much harder to get everybody together.
Right.
But we do see them frequently.
You did a good job. It sounds like you did a really good job, and that advice that you took sounds like it's the right advice for most of us should be taking.
Well,
we're talking.
I tend to feel like we have a nation of sheep. We don't have that many leaders. And,
you know,
people, this present crisis is an example.
Mm-hmm.
I think the death rate in COVID-19 has been greatly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that dies, whether they had it or not, or even if they tested positive, their death was attributed to COVID-19. And, you know, if they get I read about some guy who got run over by a steamroller, mashed flat, and they listed his death as COVID-19.
Are you serious, or is that a joke, or are you serious?
That's a joke. I'm sorry.
Oh, I almost started to take you.
I believed it.
Because I believe the same theory you do, Michael. I do believe the same theory you do, because I'm listening to people saying, well, it's a condition to COVID-19, or it's part, you know, they're saying, okay, let's get the facts here. Is it COVID or not? Well, it's due to, I agree with you, Michael. I agree 100%.
One of the things I've read is that the tests they use test for all strains of flu. And they're listed as COVID-19, and you know, which is not exactly very accurate. But my new novel, my new sequel, has a lot of that in it. My retired Fed guy used to play poker once a week, and penny ante poker. They'd start with a roll of pennies, and if they lost it, they were out of the game. And anyway, they had to stop about a month ago because of the self-isolation and the 6 foot distance and so forth. Well, the host figured out a way that they could get back together. He took four card tables and made a big square so they could sit around this huge table and still be 5 or 6 feet apart. He started with a brand new deck of cards. Of course, and they sanitized their hands before they came in.
Oh boy.
And then they bought rolls of uncirculated pennies at the bank. So they pretty much virus-proofed themselves so they could play poker.
And, Ellen, you got a great point. I didn't mean to step on you, kiddo. What were you saying about you believe Michael's theory too, right? I didn't mean to step on you.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But, I've been listening, and they're saying that these masks only work if you already have the virus or if you're already sick with something. They don't protect people that aren't sick. Now they're saying that this virus can travel 13 feet before it was 6 feet. It's 13.
Wow.
Again, they don't mention, but the recovery rate is something like 98.4%. And like I said earlier, if I had those kind of odds in Las Vegas, I'd be a billionaire.
Exactly. Those are some
I'm not worried about catching the virus myself. I'm healthy, and most of the deaths have been to elderly people who have underlying physical conditions.
Right.
Lung cancer, emphysema, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't worry about it.
Brian, I told you that I think Aaron might have had a touch of it way back in November or December before they knew what it really was.
Aaron is her daughter, but you know my feeling. I think everybody has had it.
Could have been a bad case of the flu.
Exactly. That's just my theory, and I think it's your theory, Ellen. You mentioned it before. I think we all had a run-in with it, whether we became sick or not.
But what I'm trying to say is, Erin's got an underlying condition that could compromise her, but she's running around like, it's everyday life. She's going to work.
She's 16, and teenagers have that thing, like, they'll fight off that immune system. But Michael, thank you, Ellen. You're right. And I'm just speeding this up because I'm looking at our time. Michael, so we're talking to you about your book, The Cruising Serial Killer. The book is by Michael Don Fess, F-E-S-S. It's on sale now in Amazon.
It's
Wild
available
Louisiana.
As a e-book and in print.
Sorry, I didn't hear you, Michael.
It's available as an e-book and in print. So.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah. Seven of my books are available in print. The senior group prefers printed books. The younger group prefers the e-books.
I'm part of that younger group, but I still prefer printed books over e-books and because I like to look at books on a shelf.
Well, another interesting thing that you might want to know about is that I play World Series of Poker tournaments, and so I wrote a novel about what could go on at a tournament and some of the scams that players use, and it's called Casino Scams, and it's based on a lot of actual experience over at Tunica, Mississippi. And but I played tournaments in Florida and Las Vegas and Oklahoma and several other places. But anyway,
poker.
Well, the poker tournaments, yeah. The World Series of poker.
Oh, because poker, I hardly knew her. Yeah.
You heard what?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Poker, I hardly knew her. Thank you.
Well, it's a fun challenge. I love a challenge, and writing novels is a challenge. You there?
Yep. I'm here.
But I couldn't resist the poker, I hardly knew her thing. It was just poker, I hardly knew her. But
like I say, I have too many hobbies, actually. I sing barbershop, play tennis, write books, and play at a lot of things, and paint. My major art interest is in sculpture. I've done a whole bunch of pieces in wood and limestone. And anyway,
wow.
It's a fun life.
Wow.
I do public speaking at civic clubs all over the state. And
wow, so,
various
so you,
clubs
you keep busy.
I'm sorry.
You're a really busy guy.
Yep.
I mean, you got to keep busy. That's the art of it. Keep things going. Give yourself a reason to wake up, right? It's something to do.
Mm-hmm.
But
I told my wife, when I quit doing all this, buy the box.
Right, exactly. I mean, I don't want to end it on that note, but we're going to end it on a note like do something. Michael Don Fest, it's been enjoyable. The book is called Cruising, The Cruising Serial Killer, and it's one of his series by author Michael Don Fest. Get the book. It's in Amazon right now. If you love a good murder mystery, I would call it a murder mystery. Would it be in that area, Michael?
Well, it is. It's an adventure. It's a murder mystery. It's, I would say so.
Oh, that'd be great.
A lot of cutting-edge electronic stuff in it that's a lot of people didn't know about. Of course, now it's kind of old hat. This book is 17 years old, so.
Okay. Well, it's almost as old as your grandson.
It's still fascinating. It's still fascinating.
It is.
And cruising is still happening. And
right. And murder is still happening. It didn't go out of style, so it's still relevant.
You're right.
Okay.
It happens every now and then, doesn't it?
It's true. And, Michael, do you want to tell people how to get a hold of you, Mike? Michael, and get your new fans and how to write you and where you are?
The easy way is fessbooks.com, fessbooks.com. And I also have a Fessbook Publishing on Facebook. And you can Google my name. Since Fess is an unusual name, it's easy to find. And there are all kind of links on if you Google my name. So that's probably the easiest way.
Well, it's been enjoyable, Mike.
Appreciate very much you having me on the show. And if I can do anything for you, just let me know.
Oh, you did it. You gave me a great interview. You already did it.
Well, good.
I want to thank you so much. If we could do anything for you, you know, we're open to this forum that we have here. Anytime that you want to talk about something that's bothering you, please come in the studio, and we all have a conversation. It's just your new place of home,
okay.
Michael.
I
appreciate you coming in.
The phone number Ellen sent me, and you might want to think about interviewing. There's another really good author here in Arkansas. She writes historic novels that are really well-researched. The facts are just shocking almost. And Penny Pity Shane Richards is her name. And if you're interested, I'll send you her email address. And she's.
I would. I am. I really am. That would be nice. That
all
would
right.
be nice. Well, everybody, the great author, Michael Don Fess. Thank you, sir, and we'll be right back with more. I enjoyed you so much. I got to come out to Arkansas one time. I got to come out
all
there.
Right. The door's open.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Ta-ta-ta, Cherise. And King, today is a very special day. I think we have 15 minutes in between. When's that next show? In 15 minutes. Good. We have 15 minutes. We have 15 minutes. Okay. It's going to be a very busy day today because we're going to say goodbye.
She dropped.
Huh?
Laverne was in the studio, but she dropped.
Well, maybe she's getting ready for the next show. Well, it's going to be a very special day today because we're saying goodbye to Cherise. So I'm going to send it. We're going to send her off on a very special day today. So what we're going to do is we have another interview, and I'll try to get it to 20 minutes. Then after that, Cherise's interview is coming up, but I promised Ta-Ta-Ta that she's going to probably get a 20 minutes of that because she has something going with that. And then the rest, we give Cherise a send-off that you would not believe. And let's get some voices in the room. King, good morning, my brother. Cherise, good morning. Ta-ta-ta, good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, everyone.
Good
morning.
I saw the worst special in my life. It was so embarrassing, and I feel like killing somebody. They did this thing on Prince last night.
Oh, my God.
If Prince... Prince should have rose from the grave. Sheila E. was awful. Why did they put the SNL people there? Like, she thought that. Who is that girl singing Prince's song, Delirious? Did you see that? That was horrible. From SNL.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God. That was horrible. And,
I tell you, because it was on the same time as people.
Oh. I don't know. It seemed like it was a combination of Sheila, and they always introduce Sheila E. as a music director, our music director, and then she was, and then she did something really stupid with her fat old ass. So it was a stage that was like, you know, Prince's symbol.
Oh.
And stupid Sheila E. ran from the drums and slid in front of the audience. Like she's 22 years old, and last time she did, she banged her head on the stage, and they're looking at it like she's some fool. I don't know what it. Did you see it, King? Did you see it?
Hey, what's going on, bro? My bad. I had you on hold. I was on the phone with someone else.
Okay.
Good morning, Ellen. Yeah.
Good morning.
Oh man, you know, I don't know. I just kind of felt disrespected just watching that last night. You know. Because it was like, it's like, okay, this man, he had got his catalog, then y'all killed him, and I just felt like watching that show yesterday, I felt like they were just celebrating him, like, not the people who are a fan of his music, but the Illuminati and them. I just feel like it was just, I didn't feel it yesterday, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I just didn't feel it, so, I don't know. I just look at it differently because, like I said, I pretty much know some things about the music. And when I seen that yesterday, I wasn't feeling it at all. And then Sheila E. looked like she needs to. She just needs to sit down, man. I just, you know, it was just awkward. So
yeah,
very awkward.
Oh, it was. It was
very awkward.
It was cringy, especially when she ran and then she slid down. Like, go, what the hell did she do? It's like, and then last time she hit her head like she was cool, but it's like an old lady who fell down and got vertigo. It's like, what the hell is this?
And the sad part about it is, well, I don't know if y'all can see it, but I can detect some negative energy was going up in there. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird to me. So, but I know he's probably looking. I know Prince is probably looking down at them like. Look at you, stupid motherfuckers.
I think so. You know what, Kate? I agree with you.
Go ahead.
I agree with you. Prince was an artist. He was not just a performer, but he was all of it. And they were, and what they did to his music yesterday, and these motherfuckers, I don't know, half the people who are singing, they disrespected his music and made his songs theirs. You know, it's one of those people. It's like when, the only thing I can explain it to you is when Ray Charles was singing the national anthem, when he made the national anthem his. Oh, man. Okay, Ray. You know what I mean? You know how some folks get up there and sing the national anthems, and all of a sudden they make it their signature song?
Yep.
It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And they disrespected the music. I think this was a SNL thing. And the Fred from SNL was there, the black girl or Spanish girl you know what? I hated her. She's from SNL. You know who I'm talking about? She does that commercial with the doorknob on her ankle. Help me out, people, if you've seen it. A sling commercial?
Mm.
Anybody?
No, never saw it.
She mocked. I mean, they had the original Revolution on stage. They could have done. And who is that old bitch king singing Purple Rain? And she didn't even know what the hell she was singing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was the only good thing about that thing last night was when the guy from Coldplay and Susanna Hoffs got up there from the Bengals and they sang Manic Monday. Prince did write that song for the Bengals.
Well, no, I thought the only good thing was up there was a Foo Fighter who sung Darling Nikki. That's where.
Darling Nikki was good too, but Susanna Hoffs did their original, did their song that Prince wrote for them.
Okay, but at the, you're building up this finale of Purple Rain. You're hanging in there.
Yeah.
Who's going to sing Purple Rain? And you get this old. This woman who's about 110, who was she? Something Staples, Mama Staples or whatever. She had no idea what she was singing. She was out of step. She was moving her arms like this. And you had the original Revolution on stage. They wrote Purple Rain. And you mean to tell me you could not get anybody better than that to sing the closing Purple Rain? Seriously?
That was horrible.
You know what? I sure would have done better with Purple Rain.
Usher did actually pretty good. What do you think, Jake? I thought Usher did great. I thought he did great. But even Usher made it his shit. I go, what the hell's going on with Usher? He's bumping and grinding, and he's doing a Michael Jackson. He got mixed up and go, I'm supposed to be doing Prince. Do you see that little? He almost stopped himself from doing the Michael Jackson thing. And I'm like, no, it's Prince, Usher. Because Usher has a problem, too, that he makes it all of his and grabbing these women. Yeah, he was singing When Doves Cry, I think. I think he was singing that. But you wait to Purple Rain. You're coming in there. Purple Rain's coming. And you got this old woman going, didn't know the words. One time she says, and the Purple Rain. I go, and the Purple. Get her off the stage. You couldn't. She was singing with the Revolution. And you mean to tell me that you could not have anybody in the music industry sing Purple Rain to bring the house down? Then this woman
you're talking about that crazy. Was it Wendy or Lisa that was standing right there beside her and she was singing too?
It was Wendy, but she had to move her on and she's trying to talk to her. Here's where the guitar rip is coming in. And now Wendy and Lisa wrote the song Purple Rain. It was their song. And you had the original group right there. Well, Prince wrote it too, but they all collaborated, okay? But you mean to tell me you got this? And then they introduced this idiot, Prince only performed for B.B. Wyman's and everything. That was his favorite group, and he was in her presence, and he loved her. And I go, back in 1985, not 2020, when she could sing. He's not going to have her sing Purple Rain now. She didn't even know what Purple was and what Rain was going on. It was embarrassing. It was a Sheila E. production who knew some people from Saturday Night Live. That's how I'm going to sum it up. They fucked up his music. It was embarrassing. And Sheila E. running around the stage and sliding like she was, like it was a slip and slide. You're thinking somebody, you're looking at her going, poor dear, did she fall again? It was embarrassing.
I didn't
horrible.
See that part.
The only thing that Morris Day did okay, he did okay. I was expecting more of Morris Day than that.
Yeah, like
but he,
Usher.
Yeah.
Usher did good for his song.
Again, if you really look at Usher's performance, it's about Usher. At one time, he tried to do the Michael Jackson. I thought he was going to moonwalk. It was just horrible. King, what do you do? From, 0 out of 5 stars, what do you give it? 5 being the best.
You know, I really didn't watch it. I only watched like maybe 10 minutes of it. And I just couldn't stand to watch anything like that, you know. I was stuck watching the last episode of Empire, you know what I mean? I was watching Empire, man. Like that's like my Young and the Restless. So, you know,
that's a Young Restless. Wow.
So I was watching that, and that was it. But as far as watching that Prince thing, I just wasn't digging it. You know what I mean? And the only person that I felt that really stayed in their place. Mm-hmm. And did their job was Morris Day. You know what I mean? He got there, he did his thing. You know, I didn't see him perform, but I seen different clips of him, what he was doing, you know, people that shared it. So
right.
You know. Good morning, Therese.
Therese. Where is she? She's here. Therese?
I'm sorry, they're cutting the grass out here.
Oh.
I didn't hear a word anybody said. It was really loud.
Uh-oh. No, I was telling you good morning. I didn't know if you was already on or not when I got back on.
Oh, good morning, King. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing all right. Just trying to wrap my head around what the hell they was performing last night.
Right.
You know what? Princess
is gonna slap everybody with some Purple Rain juice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but you know that's what they do to you though. That's what they do to you. The wait till you get your catalog, and then you know if you're not doing whatever you know they want you to do, they'll kill you off. And then once they kill you off, they'll make these stupid biopics about you and do these little memory concerts of you and just make it all crappy. And it's like, if you can do this for me now while I was living, why do it for me while I'm dead? You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that shit, you know?
You ain't kidding, Kring. They got the Purple Rain, the Prince tribute show going on in Vegas for $75 a ticket.
Yeah.
On Fool Beam Prince. You ain't kidding.
Yeah.
It's like Michael Jackson and Elvis. They're worth more dead than they are alive.
Yeah, and it's sad. It's like why couldn't y'all support me while I was living? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel about it. But last night was I wasn't even gonna waste my electric watching that damn thing yesterday.
Mm. I wish I was you. But we have I did watch
the last hour of it.
Did you really, Ellen? Did you really?
Yeah.
You have my condolence. It was. What did you think of it, Ellen? Seriously, in 3 seconds.
Like I said, you know, I give it a 2.5 star. You know, and the
really?
Only highlights. The only highlights out of that, and this is coming from a music person, okay?
Right.
The only highlights that I liked out of it, like I said, Susanna Hoffs and what's his name from Coldplay. They did Manic Monday. Really good.
Usher made it himself, as far as my opinion. How about your opinion, Ellen, really quickly?
Yeah, he did. He did make it about him.
About him. Like, it was almost like he was trying so hard for a comeback or something. Look at me. As I would say, Fridays is like Craig and Fridays when the father was going to the bathroom, and his infamous words that will make Charisse laugh is like, after seeing that, Daddy had to take a boo-boo.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Daddy had to take a boo-boo.
Brian, we have
that
another
was
show.
Horrible. Ta-ta-ta, are you ready to get interviewed a little bit later? You are up in about an hour. Are you ready? Let me hear your voice, Ta-ta-ta.
Hi. Oh, God.
Hi.
You better charge that
No. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. You ready to go, ta-ta-ta, in about an hour?
Oh, sure.
Okay. She always smiles when King says hello. King, would you please say hello to ta-ta-ta? It usually gets her blood up a little higher.
Hey, good morning, ta-ta-ta. You ready for your interview?
Yeah.
That's good. You ready to squeeze those lemons and make lemonade?
Yeah, we got a lemon around the house.
There you go. Thank you, King. King's my motivation. He's my motivator. He'll get people motivated. You're going to do well, ta-ta-ta. We got right after this interview, we're going to go with your interview. Okay, we got 38 seconds to go. And don't forget, this is our final goodbye. Don't miss the goodbye to Charisse. I have a lot of things in store for her ass. I mean, herself. All right. Coming up with her, so.
Oh, God. Charisse,
all right, guys.
Love.
Oh, I got some stuff in store for you. This goodbye is going to be sweet. We got to do it. I got to hang up, and the show starts in about 10 seconds. And, oh, go ahead, Ellen. You got a minute.
I said I'm scared for Charisse because I don't even know what he's got planned for you.
Oh, yeah. She's going to fall in love with me. See, you know, King is not the only one got game. King's not the only one got game. I got Mario Brothers. Come on. I got Pong. I got old school Pong.
So you got Atari.
Yeah.
You got Atari.
I got Atari. I know. King got the Xbox One. I got Atari. That's it. That's all I need.
No, I got the Game Boy.
Yeah. No. You know the new thing to that, King, is the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, the Nintendo Switch?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, Brian's got the Game Boy. You got the Nintendo Switch.
Okay, I take that one.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to have fun. That's after Tata's interview. We're already 2 minutes late, everybody. I'm sorry. We have to hang up and start the show again. Thank you guys for coming
All
in.
Right.
See you guys in 2 minutes. Ellen, I'm going to go smoke. Cover me, okay?
Yeah.